All right, good afternoon. If I told you that I found a $5 bill, what would come to your mind? Now, it could be that I opened my billfold and found a $5 bill that I had put in there earlier in the day, and I was going to purchase something, and so I went in there and found the $5 bill. It was right where I expected it to be, but I still would say I found it there. I went to get the $5 bill and found it. I remember one time, I was, I think, probably a teenager. Maybe I was in my early 20s, but I remember being out in the Atlantic Ocean. Not very far, just only like waist deep. You know how the Atlantic Ocean is off the coast of North Carolina, at least. I know probably off the coast of Virginia, y'all have like those clear waters where you can see the bottom. Looks like the Bahamas, right? No, I think you're more like North Carolina. You can't even see like 1 inch below the surface, you know. So I feel something on the bottom of the ocean. And so I use my toes to pick it up and pull it up, and I found a $5 bill on the bottom of the ocean. How about that? I wasn't looking for it there. I never thought I'd find any money in the bottom of the ocean, but I found a $5 bill where I was not expecting to find it. We're gonna find grace this afternoon. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. We're not going to be so much expounding this passage as using it for a springboard for some thoughts that are in this verse, verse 2. We'll read verses 1 and 2 together. You're probably, if you're familiar with Jeremiah 31, it's probably more like verse 3 that you're familiar with. So just for memory's sake, we'll read the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll begin with verse 1, read through verse 3, but we'll be focusing on verse 2. Jeremiah 31. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, you may be familiar with that third verse, a beautiful thought there of the everlasting love of the Lord, particularly for the nation of Israel. But we know from all of Scripture that it applies to us as well. And in a very special way as we read the New Testament letters. But in verse 2, the Lord is speaking, and He's speaking about those who survived the sword. We're thinking here of times when the nation of Israel has been, and more so will be, under great persecution and tribulation. We mentioned the time of tribulation this morning between the rapture and the revelation. And we find here in the context, Jeremiah looking forward in a way that's not so much something that he anticipated with joy, but rather with sorrow as he thought about his people and how they were rebelling against God, even at that very time there in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. But I was struck by that phrase that these people found grace in the wilderness. There are certain places that you would expect to find grace. Just as I mentioned, I would maybe expect to find a $5 bill in my wallet. But there are other places you would not expect so clearly to find grace, just as I didn't expect to find a $5 bill at the bottom of the ocean. And finding grace in the wilderness is something that may be a little surprising, not something we naturally think about, but something that is oh so important and so valuable. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we read these familiar words. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we're in the wilderness, we need help. Well, that's a time of need. I've about concluded that in my life, every moment is a time of need. And in some sense, that's true. We're always in need of the Lord. We're never capable of on our own. We're always in a time of need. But here, the writer to the Hebrews encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace, getting something good that we don't deserve. Getting something good that we don't deserve. That's grace. And he says, I want you to come boldly to this throne where what you don't deserve but is good is provided for you. And there you can obtain mercy and you can find grace. Just like these people found grace in the wilderness. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6, I won't ask you to turn there. I'm going to have you turn to some various verses here in a few minutes, but right now just listen to Jeremiah 2:6. Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I'm going to suggest that in that verse, we find out a lot about the wilderness. And I'm going to suggest that for you and for me, much of our lives might be described as a wilderness. Now, that wilderness can be around us. We could say and see that we are living in a wilderness, spiritually speaking. We're living in a world that could be described as a wilderness. And sometimes the wilderness is inside of us. And for you this morning, or for you this afternoon, or for you tomorrow, or sometime in the future, I trust that these thoughts about finding grace in the wilderness will be an encouragement. So what we'd like to do is to just think for a few moments on three characteristics of a wilderness. And with each of those characteristics of a wilderness, think of a way that we find grace in the wilderness. First of all, I think we only have one student in our midst. We have a lot of students. We're all students, but you're going to get put on the spot. So if you think about the word wilderness, the first four letters, what do the first four letters of wilderness spell? Wild. Very good. Wild. The first characteristic of a wilderness is that it's dangerous. Okay? The first characteristic of a wilderness is that it's dangerous. And as we've heard, in the very word wilderness, though we don't pronounce it wilderness, but that's really the root of the word, is it not? Wild. And so we think about a wilderness as a place where there are beasts, wild animals, the elements that are dangerous, and even sometimes we think of those who may attack us who are out in the wilderness purposefully because they know that that's a place they could get us. So I want to think just a little bit about this idea of the wilderness being a place of danger. So go back with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. We're going to be jumping throughout the scriptures. So if you didn't get enough caffeine at the break and you're not sure you're going to stay awake, just turn to all the passages and you'll be awake for at least most of the time, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15. These verses are all going to be telling us about the wilderness, and we want to just notice some characteristics there and try to make some applications briefly to our own lives. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 15. And we're reading here of the Lord your God from verse 14, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. We're going to get to that part later. But for right now, focus on that part, that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions. We find that the fiery serpents and the scorpions made it a dangerous place. And that's why some people say, well, why would I want to go camping? If it's so great out there, why are all the bugs trying to get in my house? All right. So why are the snakes and scorpions wanting to get in my house if it's so great out there? Out in the wilderness, you may get attacked by a serpent. You may get attacked by a scorpion. And as I think of the serpent, I think of that one who was first referred to as a serpent. The devil himself taking on that form of a serpent. And he's called in the book of the Revelation that old serpent. And as we go through life, there's a danger. And it's a wilderness, it's a wild place, because Satan is going about, not only like a scorpion or a serpent, but like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He looks within this room and he sees a number. And you say, we're not many, but he still would like to devour every one of us. Every one of us. Notice over in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 8. We're going to look here at something that Gideon says. Gideon in Judges chapter 8 and verse 7. Gideon in battle. So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. You see, out in the wilderness, there are thorns. It's not a cultivated area. Thorns and briars are growing wild in those areas. And that reminds me of the curse of sin. What did the Lord tell Adam? You know, they're going to be thorns, they're going to be briars when you go out and you try to cultivate. That's what's going to be, that's what you're going to face. And as we go out and we seek to have the fruit of the Spirit cultivated in our lives, we find that the curse of sin all around us is causing danger to the desire that we have to bring forth a great crop. Well, let's keep going and look in the book of Lamentations as we continue to hear Jeremiah's voice as we work our way into Lamentations verse 5. Excuse me, chapter 5 and verse 9. And we find out something else about the danger, the wildness of the wilderness. Lamentations 5 and verse 9. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Because of the sword in the wilderness. There are those who take advantage of the fact that we're going through a time of difficulty. There are those who take advantage of the fact that we live in this world which is anti-God and anti all those who are of God and belong to God and are seeking to live for God, and they are seeking to attack us and to bring harm to us spiritually. They're trying to cut us down in our testimony. They're trying to cut us off from enjoying the blessings of God. We live in a wilderness. For sake of time, I want to ask you to turn to several other verses in the New Testament. But if you want to note them, Mark 1 and verse 13 speaks of the Lord Jesus in His temptation. And He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to Him. The wild beasts were there. It was a place of danger. And that's why that was mentioned, why Mark was led by the Spirit of God to mention the Lord Jesus was out in this place. Not only was He without food, not only was He tempted by Satan, He was also with the wild beasts. There was physical danger in this area. And again, we know that there is spiritual danger toward us who were seeking to live for the Lord Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:26, Paul, testifying of his own experiences, of his own perils, he speaks of being in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. What is a peril? A peril is a danger. Paul said, I've been there. I've experienced physical danger. I've experienced spiritual danger. And there is a dangerous wilderness in your life. We need to be aware of it because we're vulnerable. We're particularly vulnerable when we're discouraged. We're particularly vulnerable when we may have been through a time where we feel like we are giving out a lot spiritually and emotionally and relationally, and we're not taking in very much. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable when we feel ourselves slipping possibly into a besetting sin. We're vulnerable when we are going through a time of temptation as the Lord Jesus did there in the wilderness. We're vulnerable when we get busy, too busy to get quiet and alone with the Lord. We find ourselves in a place of danger. We're in the wilderness. We're in a place of danger when we become distracted. And our thoughts are pulled away from the things of God and the things of the Spirit and the things of Scripture. And they're brought on to maybe important things even in our lives, but we can become vulnerable in the wilderness. Vulnerable to Satan, vulnerable to our own flesh, vulnerable to this world and to those who would attack us. We can become vulnerable when we are admired. When people are telling us how wonderful we are and how great we are doing, we can become vulnerable. And we can maybe not even realize that we're in a wilderness. In a place of danger, when we're seeking to serve the Lord and to be involved in evangelism and edification and even worship. But we can find grace in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, we can find grace in God's protection. Maybe we're not even expecting it there. Maybe we're not looking for that grace there. Maybe we don't even realize we need grace. That we need to be given something we don't deserve. Maybe we're not even thinking about the fact that we don't deserve it. But we can find grace in God's protection. Here in Lamentations, go one more book into the book of Ezekiel. Go to chapter 34 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. In verse 25, as God speaks of making a covenant with the nation of Israel, we see an application to ourselves here. Ezekiel 34 and verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them and will cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Here we have God speaking of a future day, and we can find an application spiritually in our own lives with the peace that has been made for us in the Lord Jesus, and God is the one who can intervene and stop the wild beast. In Psalm 136, 16, we read of God as the one who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. You see, God, in His grace, can protect you. Protect you in the wilderness. Sometimes we don't even realize we need protection. I have been there, not even knowing that I was in danger. And God has intervened and He has led me safely through the danger. This past week, while we were visiting with our family in Memphis, we went to the Peabody Hotel. I've never been to the Peabody Hotel. You may have heard of the Peabody Ducks. I did see one duck swimming around, but we went inside. They were having the lighting of the Christmas tree, this big Christmas tree in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel. You could hardly move. You couldn't hardly even get around. It was raining outside. We thought maybe it won't be too many people. They won't go out in the rain. You couldn't hardly move in that place. And so here we are, Josh and Danielle are parking the car. They drop us off. And so Kim and my mom and I, we've got our three grandchildren. And our middle grandchild, Samuel, if there's anybody that's going to get lost, it's going to be Samuel. He is so curious, he's going to be into something. And so I grabbed hold of his hand. I said, "Don't you let go of Papa's hand. And don't try to pull away." And I led him through a maze of people. He would have never found his way through. He would have been lost, I guarantee you. It wouldn't have taken long at all. Now, he may have been climbing the Christmas tree. Maybe he would have been there. But he would have been lost if I had not stepped in and took him by the hand and led him through the dangers that were there lurking. I don't know. It could have been someone who would have kidnapped him. There could have been someone who would have hurt him. He could have gotten injured. He could have gotten lost and got out in the street in front of a car. But I led him through, and that's what God sometimes does for us. Sometimes His protection is there and we're not even looking for it. We don't even realize we need it. We forgot we needed it. But in His grace, He reaches down, He intervenes, and protects us from dangers in our wilderness. So the first thing we see about a wilderness is that it's wild, it's dangerous. The second characteristic we find of a wilderness is that it's dry. And we mentioned that in one of the verses that we've already read. A wilderness is known by the fact that it's free from moisture. We think of the desert, a place where there is a lack of moisture. And that lack of moisture results in thirst. And it can also result in unfruitfulness. In Genesis 21, we read about Hagar when Abraham took her and took some bread and some water and sent her and Ishmael off. And it says she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the skin was used up. They ran out of water. Oh, what's the big deal? Why don't you just go buy a bottle of water at the convenience store? Why don't you just go knock on somebody's door and ask them for a glass of water? They're in the wilderness. They're in a place where there is no water. It's a place where there is no moisture. And they were thirsty. In Exodus 15:25, we see Moses leading Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out, we read, into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and guess what happened? They found no water. Duh. What do you think? You're going into the wilderness, right? There's not going to be any water out there. In fact, in Ezekiel, well, here you are. Just go back to chapter 19. It's a short verse, but again, I got to keep you awake, right? So chapter 19, go over it and look at verse 13, and we find something about the nation of Israel. Verse 12 says she was plucked up, her strong branches were broken and withered. Look at verse 13. And now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. A dry and thirsty land. You can't be fruitful when you're in the wilderness. I'm reminded of Psalm 63 in verse 1. And the heading there, if you look in your Bible, you'll see the heading, not inspired, but a heading, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And what does he say? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Thirsting in the wilderness. And maybe you're in the wilderness even now, and we look at you, we can't even tell. We don't know. Or maybe when you leave this place today and you go out, you're going into a barren wilderness where it's dry and there's nothing to sustain you spiritually. Well, we can find grace even in the wilderness. And we can find grace in God's provision. In God's provision. In Psalm 78, in verse 15, we read this. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. Psalm 107, 35. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. You know what? That's God's provision. Not what you're expecting. Not to find water in the wilderness. You know, the children of Israel went 3 days and realized there's no water around here. And God said, I'm going to give you some water. And I'm going to give it to you in a way that you don't expect it. My provision is going to be of my grace. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But I'm going to give it to you because I'm a God of grace. And I'm out here in the wilderness with you. And He poured out that water. Psalm 78, 15 says, they drank in abundance like the depths. There was water in the wilderness beyond anything that they could even begin to comprehend. And listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in John 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. And then John, writing, goes on to explain this, but he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit of God living within every believer. I don't care how dry your wilderness is. I don't care how thirsty you feel like you are spiritually and you feel like there's no hope. The Spirit of God within you is flowing, and God desires for you to drink from those rivers of living waters in abundance like the depths. Drinking from that provision through God Himself, poured out in various ways, poured out through the Scriptures. Poured out here as you drink in the Lord Jesus Himself. Poured out through one another as you fellowship together and encourage one another and share with one another what God is doing in your life and Scriptures that He is using to impact you, and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to overflow out of your life to wash over your brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may drink, that they may drink of the Holy Spirit within them. Yes, a wilderness is dry, but we can find grace even in the wilderness in God's provision in ways that we don't expect. If you see a rock, God might have some water coming out of that. You might look across the way and say, hey, that brother, he's a rock all right. Hard-headed as can be. God might be using that very brother to flow over some water to you. You might think there's no hope here. It's dry. It's barren in my life. God says, you watch out, because I can bring the water, not because you deserve it, but because I am the provider. And finally, a third characteristic of a wilderness is that it's desolate. It's desolate. It's devoid of inhabitants and visitors. That's what desolate means. Think about the word desert. We think of a wilderness, we often think of desert. A desert has the emphasis on the first syllable, right? Desert. What if you change it and put the emphasis on the second syllable? Desert. Not dessert that you eat. I don't mean with two S's. I mean spelled the same way. Dessert. That's why it's a desert, because it's deserted. There's nobody there. Everybody left. Why? Because it's dry there. Why? Because it's dangerous there. Nobody's there. So sometimes our wilderness is a wilderness of desolation. We feel like we're abandoned. We feel like we've been forsaken. In Job 38, 26, we read of a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man. Psalm 107, verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Isaiah 27, 10, yet the fortified city will be desolate, the habitation forsaken and left like a wilderness. Everybody leaves. There's nothing there. There's no one there. Look at Ezekiel chapter 6. This will be probably our last verse. Maybe we'll look at one more. But Ezekiel chapter 6, while we're here in Ezekiel, speaking of the desolation, and you can see it with your eyes as well as hear it with your ears. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 14. God's judgment on Israel. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah and all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Desolation. Devoid of inhabitants and visitors. Sometimes we get into a wilderness in life and we feel like we're on our own. We feel like we've been deserted. We're lonely, and sometimes we feel alone even when there's a lot of people around us. And maybe the loneliness is of our own making, or maybe it's the way that we've been treated, or maybe it's a circumstance beyond our ability to do anything about. But nonetheless, we're finding a place of desolation. We're in the wilderness. What do we do? Can we find grace in the wilderness? I don't expect to find grace here. Seems like I'm all on my own, but we can find grace in God's presence. In God's presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. In His presence. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 19, we read, yet in your, speaking to God, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire to show them the light by night and the way they should go. You know, God says, I'm not going to forsake you in the wilderness. I'm going to be with you, just like it was with the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness, but I didn't forsake them. He was there in the pillar of cloud. He was there in the pillar of fire. He was there to lead them. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 35, and God says, I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face. God says, I'll give you my presence, even in the wilderness. In Luke 5 and verse 16, we find the Lord Jesus. He Himself withdrew into the wilderness, and what did He do there? He prayed. What was He doing when He prayed? He was communing with His Father. He was in the very presence of His Father. He was alone. There was nobody else there with Him. But His Father was there. Paul experienced that. 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He was in the wilderness. There was nobody there. It was dangerous. It was dry. But God was there. God stood with him. So we'll close. If you want to turn to Hebrews 13, many of you know this passage by heart, but if you'd like to look at it, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. We'll close with this. We think about the wilderness. It's a place of danger, but we have the grace of God's protection, even in the wilderness. It's a place that's dry, but we have the grace of God's provision, even when we don't expect to find it. In the The wilderness is desolate, but it's also a grace, a place where we find the grace of God's presence. Chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If you're in the wilderness, or you're going to the wilderness, look for grace. Expect to find grace there. The grace of His protection, the grace of His provision, the grace of His presence. God is with you in the wilderness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that while we're in this earth, on this earth, we know that though we go through times of desolation and dryness and danger, Lord, You're with us. Lord, we find grace in the wilderness just like Israel did. Those who escaped the sword found grace in the wilderness. And Lord, sometimes we're in the wilderness, and I know myself, sometimes in the wilderness I get very discouraged and I'm not even thinking that I might experience Your grace there. But Lord, help me to know and help us to know that that's the exact time when Your grace is probably going to be the most evident if we'll just watch for it. Father, thank You so much for Your protection on us and over us. Lord, we know when we get to heaven, we're going to find out so many things that You've done on our behalf to protect us, and we were totally clueless. Lord, thank You for Your provision. Lord, thank You that You provide us through Your Holy Spirit who lives within us and overflows as a river of spiritual water that we can drink deeply of and find satisfaction. And Lord, thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Father, we thank You for Your provision today of the food that we're getting ready to go enjoy. Thank You for those who've been working to have it ready for us. Bless our fellowship around the tables. Thank You for Your grace. We need it so desperately, and we receive it with thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord encourage you in your wilderness.